Which one? Right, left? Either one? Okay. We'll put it up there. We'll see which one works. Well, I haven't tried it yet. I'm hitting them both. Oh, hold one? I hit them both. I don't know which one.
Here, we'll just...
Well, while they get that, how is everybody? Happy Sabbath. That was good music. Thank you, guys. Good worship. Are we ready? Maybe? Well, while they do that, let's have a prayer and just get started. Lord, thank you again that we can be here. Thank you that we can open your word freely without persecution. And Lord, I just ask you to teach us and encourage us. Let us walk away from this service today encouraged. And we ask that in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. What is going on? Anything? I should have prayed for that, shouldn't I? I think I'm going to preach without it. All right. So, the memory text that we had, or the text that was opening, was Matthew 24:14. Everybody's familiar with that one, right? What does that one say? Okay, so the last event is the gospel being preached to the world. My question is, at what cost? That's my question. Here, let me find out which one works. So not that one. You know what? I think my wife is going to have to do it. Can you be my remote, please? Thank you. So we're going to talk about God's plan, God's presence, and God's providence as we get into this today. And I'll try to have you out by noon, okay? Somebody got on to me the other day, so I'll do my best. So let's go to the next slide here. So God's plan, we want to discuss this, and we want it to be our vision. Okay? We want it to be our vision. So go ahead and open with me now to Acts. We already read Matthew 24:14. Go to Acts with me. Acts 16. You have your Bibles? Because I don't think they're going to put it up on the screen. What? The clicker? You can have them both. So Acts 16, verse 6 is where we're going to start. We want to find God's plan. Amen? What, don't you want to follow God's plan? Yeah. I like the little voice that said that. All right. So verse 6, everybody there? Now, it's going to have some big words when we get to them, some places we're not familiar with. But look at this. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia, they were what? Forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. You ever seen that text before? That's pretty wild, right? Look at the next verse. Yeah, Acts 16 is where we are. Everybody with me? 16 and verse 7 now. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. What do you guys think about that? Weird? It is kind of weird, right? Would God keep us from preaching? Now, our message, you know, Matthew 24:14, we're to take the gospel everywhere. But did Jesus say something about, casting our pearl before swine, not to do that. Y'all remember that? Does anybody know why? They'll trample on it. Why would they trample on it? Because it's not food. They don't see the value in the pearl. They may nibble on it, but then they drop it and trample on it, and it's with all the other junk that's in their pen. So he says not to do this. Now, has anybody ever experienced God forbidden them from witnessing? Anybody ever experienced that? I had this happen one time. Before I was a pastor, I was in a group of Satanists, and I was already a Christian. And man, I wanted to rebuke them for what I was witnessing. And when I went to do it, do you know what happened? My tongue got stuck to the roof of my mouth. It was like Twilight Zone. Y'all remember that Twilight Zone? Anyhow. But I could not rebuke them. And I was like, and when that happened, I knew it was supernatural. And so I was like, okay, Lord, you don't want me to say anything to them? And then it was like, I was impressed. That's right. That's why your tongue's not going to work. And I was like, okay, well, can I at least smile real big and say nice to have met you? You know, kind of like psh, that way. And he let me do that. But it wasn't until a little while later that I read that actually happened to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 3, somewhere around verse 26, right in there, Ezekiel was not allowed to rebuke some people at that moment. And the Bible says because they're a rebellious house. What does that mean if someone's in rebellion? It means they know what they're doing is wrong. So he wouldn't let me cast my pearls before swine, although I really wanted to. He wouldn't let me. And so here we find this again with these guys, Paul and Silas. So let's keep going here. Verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A vision. How many would like that to happen? Wouldn't that be cool? God's plan. Our desire. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia, help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Would you respond to that if you had that vision? Yeah? Let's see if there's a confirmation. Verse 11. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran straight course. That's a weird word, isn't it? Samothrace. I think it's Samothrica in the Greek. That's its actual name. And the next day to Neapolis. And from there, Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. We sat down and spoke to the women who met there. All right, so you're starting to witness. Verse 14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. Look at this next part of this verse. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Is that cool? Anybody else think that's cool? That's very cool, man. I really like that. Is that a confirmation? It's definitely a confirmation that the vision was true. He needed to be here. Verse 15 says, And when she and her household were what? Baptized. She begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she constrained us. God's plan. Well, I don't have a clicker. There it is. Go back to the forward. Look at this. Oh, I do have a clicker. Is it working now? Cool. Thank you. So, I'm getting used to this. I always have troubles, don't I? Does anybody know, now you can see it on the screen, does anybody know what this Tuesday is? October 22nd. What's significant about October 22nd? The Great Disappointment. And incidentally, it happened. Oh, there it is. Can you see that? You can barely see it. All right. That happened exactly 169 years ago this Tuesday, because it was on a Tuesday that that happened. The Great Disappointment. And y'all remember William Miller? He had some really fanciful PowerPoints, and they worked. Yeah, people are visual, man. Don't shoot down technology. People are visual. You watch TV. So it worked. And he had some others, and he had all these charted dates. Okay? And by the way, he had come to the conclusion that it was 1843 first, if you guys remember that, if you know the history. And then in 1844, they were bitterly disappointed. Was that from God? Yes or no? Definitely. How do you know it's from God? What? Say it again. Prophesied. Where? Revelation 10. Good job. Has anybody read Revelation 10? Man, if you haven't, you need to study it because it's talking about us. It's a really cool study if you haven't studied it. But was God leading? Oh, what is going on? Was God leading? Yes. Was there some disappointment along the way? Yeah. But he's leading. So let's keep going here. So we're looking at God's plan. That's what we want to follow. Now we're going to get into God's presence. Look at verse 16 of Acts 16. God's plan, God's presence now. 16:16. We're going to keep reading this chapter. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Can you imagine the demon mocking the whole time? I had a demon do that one time through a guy. He said, "I'm on a mission from God." And he mocked me. And I just looked at him. I was like, "One of these days, buddy, I'm going to win you to Christ. I can't wait till that happens." Verse 18. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. So far, it's good, right? You like God's plan, right? It's all fun so far. Verse 19, but when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates, and they said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Did you hear that? How do you like God's plan? Is this God's plan? To be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison. And it's not like our prisons. These are bad dungeons, man. Commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. God's plan. If God has a plan, and we want to be a part of that, what gives us assurance that we're doing his plan? What brings us assurance? His word. But look, God's presence. Right? God's presence gives us assurance that we're in his plan. Amen? You hear this asked all the time, where were you? You hear that all the time. And here these guys are beat up. Because they were sharing the gospel. Was God's presence with them? You bet it was, because it doesn't say here that they cursed one time. The Lord held their tongue, amen? And that was a witness. Pretty cool. God's presence. I think about these guys. Oh, here's a quote I found. To be like Jesus. Page 210. The Lord places us in different positions to develop us. If we have defects of character of which we're not aware, he gives us discipline that will bring those defects to our knowledge that we may overcome them. Is this a fun process? No. Is it something the Lord wants? Yeah. Defects of character. I'm looking at Solomon here. And most of the time we think of the youth, and that's what this quote goes into. But defects of character. It says, this is Prophets and Kings, page 82. We see and hear of unsteadiness in youth. The young wavering between right and wrong, and the current of evil passions proving too strong for them. Let me make sure I get this. In those of mature years, we do not look for this unsteadiness and unfaithfulness. We expect the character to be established, the principles firmly rooted. Look at that. But this is not always so. When Solomon should have been in character as a sturdy oak, he fell from his steadfastness under the power of temptation. When his strength should have been the firmest, he was found to be the weakest. From such examples, we should learn that in watchfulness and prayer, in what? Watchfulness and prayer is the only safety for both young and old. Security does not lie in exalted position and great privileges. Do you know what that means? It means just because I'm a pastor or someone's an elder or whatever does not make you holy. Security does not lie in exalted position and great privileges. One may for years have enjoyed a genuine Christian experience, but he is still exposed to Satan's attacks. Solomon's failure here. His failure teaches us that whatever a man's intellectual qualities may be, no matter your education, whatever it is, however faithful he may have served God in the past, he can never with safety trust his own wisdom and integrity. You guys agree with that? Amidst all life's perplexities and dangers and conflicting claims, the one safe and sure rule is to do what God says. Do what God says. What did God tell Paul and Silas? Go to Macedonia. He didn't say it was going to be easy, but that's what he told them. Go there. Doing what God says. A lot of church splits and things that happen in the church are simply because of pettiness. Have you guys noticed that? Because people don't want to do what God says. And I heard the story about a guy that was on an abandoned island, and he'd been there for years. And finally, a ship shows up, and he waves down the ship, and they come over there, and they're noticing his really nice hut that he built. He says, well, what are these huts? And he says, well, this one here is my house, you know. Built this hut for my house. And I don't know if you can see it there, but on the right, there's another piece of a hut. He says, well, what's this one next to it? He says, oh, well, that's my church. And by the way, this guy's the only one on the island. And he says, well, what's the one next to it? He goes, oh, that's my former church. You know, it's messed up, right? But it does illustrate something, that too often we allow pettiness to divide us. Oh, let me show you this. Does anybody get, man, what is going on? There it is. Does anybody get the Adventist Review? Did you see this article? This is a really cool article. And if you get the review, or if you want to go online, look it up. But this guy is talking about the genius of disunity. And you know what he says? He says, if it were heresy, we would all be on board. We would surround, you know, the wagons, circle the wagons and all that, you know, and protect it if it were heresy. But when it comes to disunity, we allow it. And the devil uses that to divide us. Now, why am I chasing this rabbit? I'm chasing it because it could be that people have been being used by the devil and don't even realize it. Be careful, man. Be careful that you don't let some pet peeve that you have become gospel. Be careful. I don't want to chase it anymore. But is everybody with me? Okay. I'll finish it with this. Has anybody ever read this in Proverbs 6, verse 16? It says, these six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and look at the last one. One who sows discord among brethren. Disunity is of the devil. If anything, man, what did Sister White tell us? Press together. We can see that day approaching. Press together. Don't let your pet peeves divide. All right, that's enough on that one. Amen. Get rid of them. Preach it. All right? So you can say that. If I say that, they'll throw stuff at me. So God's presence, where are you? Where were you when this happened? Well, he's there. How about with Joseph? Was God with Joseph? Yeah. Was it a fun experience? No. How about Daniel? In a lion's den. That would be a wild experience. Oh, maybe. This thing. There it is. Hebrew boys. Was God with them? Yeah. How about, man, I'm about to give up on this thing. It isn't working. All right. Let's keep going. I'm done with the PowerPoint. Let's go. Did it start working? Oh, you pressed it, Gary? Well, thank you, man. All right, well, if you'll do that for me. Children of Israel, was God with them? Was it a fun experience? No. What's the next one? Elijah. Is God with Pastor Elijah? Yeah. Yes, amen. But, you know, in Elijah's experience, he was called the troubler of Israel. But God was with him. And man, our experience in the near future is going to be very similar to Elijah's. This is the Elijah message. Amen? Maybe one of these days I'll do that sermon over here. I did it for Cross Connection. Noah, was God with Noah? You bet he was. Now, was it scary? Man, can you imagine being in a boat with all these animals screaming and pooping and, you know, the boat rocking? That's probably where "don't rock the boat" came from, huh? Because it never rained before that. But anyhow, all right. So God's providence. Let's get into these texts now. It should be listed here. Acts 16, verse 25. Yeah, right there. We're going to keep reading this, and I just have 5 minutes here. But at midnight, now by the way, where are these guys? They're in prison. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Is that how you would respond? Man, I hope so. Wow. Yeah, especially praying, right? Here they are singing hymns. Why would they sing hymns? Okay, they knew they were in God's protection. Audrey read me a quote this morning from Desire of Ages, page 73. Really, I remembered it, all right? And there it talks about how Jesus would sing while being a carpenter. And that while he would sing, others, people that were all around there that had whatever cares, their cares were lifted. And she says it's as though the demons fled. Is there power in music? You know what I wonder? Whether it's hymn or praise music, I wonder why more people don't sing. The old voices, is that it? Maybe so, maybe. But, you know, sometimes I wonder if it's more of a show. If it's an expectation to be a show. When really, it should be a response of gratitude. Amen? So here they are. Maybe they're grateful they weren't killed. But they're singing, and it says the prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. God's providence. How would you like to see that? If you want to see this, then you got to go through what they went through. You got to be willing to go to the lion's den. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. How many read that as though that's normal? Is it normal to kill yourself if life goes wrong? No. I should have heard that louder. No. That is not rational. No matter what is going wrong, you don't kill yourself. I think the Lord's after him. It's when you're at your lowest, he really comes seeking you. Verse 28, but Paul called with a loud voice saying, "Do yourself no harm, we're all here." Then he called for a light. He ran in. He fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, why would he ask that? The music. The praying. The witness. God's presence. Amen? If you read Great Controversy, we're told there that when John Huss and these others died at the stake, God's grace was upon them. Because if we just think about it right now, burning at the stake does not sound fun. But if God's grace is upon us, What a light. Amen. Verse 31. We're almost finished. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. What is that? They taught him. And to all who were in the house. And he took them that same hour of the night, washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Isn't that cool? And then he serves them food. And his whole household believes in the Lord. Let me see if we can get this to work. Pastor Gary, there you go. God's providence. This morning in Sabbath school, we saw how in God's providence, he provided for Abraham. He provided for us. Amen? Keep going. Samaritan woman. Was God's providence in that story? He needed to go through Samaria because there was a soul that was waiting for salvation. At what cost shall this gospel go to the entire world? I've been thinking about this. This week it hit me. I haven't experienced any persecution. No matter what bad stuff happens, what politics, whatever else, Daniel and his friends were castrated and they still had their witness. Others were thrown in dungeons. Why do I complain about something so silly, so petty? And I was really being convicted. And I was talking to the Sabbath school earlier. The history of this movement, if you go back and look at the sacrifice involved. They gave everything, and here we have it really good, man. You have a mic to hear me. We have air conditioning. We have padded pews so you can sleep while I preach, right? You know, we have it really good. And I know most of you in this room went through the generation where you know what it's like to go without. My generation doesn't know that. Baby boomer generation doesn't know that. Well, some of them, not all of them. But we didn't go through depression years. Guys, we don't know what sacrifice is. We really need those that have been through it to mentor, to help us, because what's coming, we're told every earthly help will be cut off. What are you going to lean on? Who are you going to lean on then? Amen. He may use ravens to feed us. At what cost? Well, there may be some sacrifice involved. But wouldn't it be cool? I think about this. Wouldn't it be cool when we're in heaven and Daniel says, yeah, man, I was thrown into a lion's den. And then you're able to stand up and say, I was too. You're not the only one that walked on water, Peter. Wouldn't that be cool? It's going to cost, though. Are we willing to go through it? We'll finish here. Philip and the eunuch, you see God's leading. Paul and Silas, this jailer, he was after this jailer. Now, one question here as we get ready to wrap it up, and I'm sorry, I went past noon. Please forgive me. How do we know, and I've shared this with you before, but repetition is how we learn. How do we know God would have gone after one person? For instance, this jailer. How do we know God was doing this just so they can reach him and his family? How do we know that? Okay, he wouldn't have sent him there in the first place and gave his son. You know, do y'all remember me sharing this? It's been probably a year ago. When Jesus went to the cross, in order to fulfill prophecy, man, that morning at 9 a.m., he could have died. He could have. The moment he hit that cross, 9 o'clock, he could have died. Why did it wait a little bit longer for him to die? Boom. Thank you, Brandon. Because there was one soul that he was after. And he put all of humanity's salvation on hold for one person. I really believe he loves us individually that much. If you don't hear that enough, man, the Lord loves you. I don't care what your struggles are, he loves you. It's cool to be loved. All right, a couple more slides here. This right here, and I shared this over at Cross Connection, so y'all can't speak. This right here is a submarine, and we actually have some Navy families here who have family that are on these ships. These Navy ships can go down really deep. We're not even told because it's classified how deep they can go. Go way under California. Yeah, we are sitting out there. You know we're going to fall off, right? But here's my question. They go way deep, 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 deep. And they get down there, and you know what they see? Go to the next slide. Boom! Look at this. They see some weird-looking creatures. And so I asked Cross Connection, how are these creatures alive down there? How do they live at those depths? So let me ask it another way. What is it about the submarine that as it goes down that deep, however deep we don't know, it doesn't just go like a can? What keeps it from doing that? Pressure. Everybody with me? Pressure. Go to the next slide if you would, and this is how we'll end. You see these two objects? Can you tell what's on the left? It's kind of hard to tell. Coal. Some of us will get that for Christmas, right? Coal. Yeah. What's the difference between that coal and that diamond? Pressure. The Bible says we are God's jewels. Amen? We're being formed into His character, reformed. But that requires pressure. We can't cave in to the pressure that's all on top of us. We've got to let God's pressure be strong enough to form us. And then we'll finish the gospel commission. Actually, we're told that when God sees His image in His people, He's coming back. Now, if we just look at His image, when they beat him, he didn't curse. When they mistreated him, when the church mistreated him, yeah, that preaches. He didn't retaliate. Amen? Let's pray for that type of grace. Would you like him to do that? He is our hope. He'll do that if we let him. Okay, I'm going to stop now. I'll land this plane so that we can sing our closing hymn. My hope is built on nothing less.